First of all, you're an actor by trade and experience and training. Is that right?
Indeed, yeah. I trained at the Guildhall School of Music and Drama in London, and I've been sort of, I've been professional since 95, yeah. So
you're an actor, and yet you've written this scholarly Shakespearean work. So I guess my first question has to be, where the hell do you get off?
Hi, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever it is, wherever you are. Thanks for subscribing, streaming, or downloading and listening to us on your computer or MP3 player. I'm Austin Titchener, one third of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, and you're listening to this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast number 176, The Devere Code. It's that time of year again, the time we celebrate the birth week of William Shakespeare and April 23rd, the day we've all agreed to recognize Shakespeare's birthday. So once again, it's time to say...
Happy birthday, Willie!
And thanks to the Year 11 students at Renaissance College in Hong Kong for saying that. We did a workshop with them last fall and they were great. But Shakespeare Week is also the time of year that publishers bring out biographies of William Shakespeare, as well as books both promoting and refuting theories that someone else wrote the plays and sonnets of William Shakespeare. Now, in fairness, author Jonathan Bond published his book, The Devere Code, last fall. I'm the one who is cynically scheduling the interview to appear during Shakespeare Week. Jonathan also only claims that Edward de Vere wrote Shakespeare's sonnets, not his plays. And his thin book describes the very interesting puzzle that he discovered that led him to this conclusion. Now, personally, I'm agnostic about the authorship question. The plays are the thing, to coin a phrase, not the playwright. But I am fascinated by the various theories, and I loved reading the de Vere Code and getting to speak to its author, Jonathan Bond.
Before I became an actor, I did actually go to university and study a bit as well. So I picked up a few scholarly habits. The two things came together, really, because in 98, I was working at the... Or 97 and 98, I was working at Shakespeare's Globe in London. Right. I was part of the company in the opening season. Mm. And so that was when I kind of got to know Mark Rylance, who is a fairly prominent, as they call them, anti-Stratfordian person who introduced me to the whole idea that there was an authorship debate, which I didn't know that there was anything like that. And so subsequently, I've worked at the Globe several times, and I love Shakespeare. Shakespeare, you know, that's my sort of my fundamental reason for acting is really Shakespeare. But so it's always fascinated me that there was this huge puzzle about this, mm-hmm. about who actually wrote the plays, you know, and so it's been a sort of a perennial interest in me.
Well, and before I get to this puzzle, what's it like, just actor to actor, what's it like playing the Globe, the reconstruction of the Globe? Is it thrilling?
Well, I always the way I always describe it is the first time you go out on the stage with an audience, and it's kind of like walking out behind a jet engine on full kind of throttle. That's kind of it's kind of like being hit.
Wow.
By a jet, because the energy of the place is the most extraordinary thing. That when it's full of people, the intensity of the energy, because you can see everybody, mm-hmm. and you can hear everybody, and you know there's a constant sort of hum, or then in moments of incredible intense silence, and things like that. So you actually you just have this huge adrenaline rush the first time. And it's great having been back there, because once you're kind of a veteran, uh-huh. then you get to just, you know, enjoy watching people for whom it's their first time going out there and kind of getting hit by this extraordinary thing, and then you love it.
So explain for us a little bit the discovery you've made with the Devere Code. I mean, the thrust of your book is that you have discovered to your mind is proof that at least the sonnets were written by Edward de Vere, the Earl of Oxford. Is that right?
That's right. It's a huge subject, but as briefly as possible. For a long time now, for over 100 years now, there's been a a growing kind of band of scholars and others, people in the acting profession, who suspect that the Earl of Oxford, Edward de Vere, had a huge amount to do with the writing of the plays of Shakespeare. And there's a huge argument about why that is, and loads of different people give lots of different evidence, which they think shows how he his life is reflected in the plays and so on and so forth. But nobody's ever actually found a single sort of piece of actual documentary evidence which suggests De Vere himself said, "I wrote the plays or the sonnets or anything like that." Right. Now, when the sonnets were first published in 1609, they were published with a dedication at the beginning. And this dedication is a very peculiar text. It's puzzled scholars ever since it was published and continues to baffle scholars today. And there's always been a sort of suggestion around Shakespeare studies, and particularly amongst people who think maybe Shakespeare didn't write the plays, that perhaps this might be some kind of a coded statement, that it may contain hidden messages, but nobody's ever really figured out what they might be.
Well, and the only phrase that seems to stand out in that introduction is the phrase, I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it in front of me, "to the only begetter of these sonnets."
Yeah.
And that's what people sort of cling to. Well, it has to mean the person for whom the sonnets were written, or the person that maybe caused the sonnets to be published. Those seem to be the two biggest theories.
Yeah.
But you have an entirely different interpretation of not only those two words, but the entire dedication itself.
Indeed. About 10 years ago, a chap published a paper in which he suggested that then a particular way of looking at the dedication which might show it to contain hidden messages. And what I essentially did over the last couple of years was examine his work and take it further. What I discovered is that the text of the dedication on the surface has one particular message, but then if you reorganize the text in another way, various different messages are revealed. And these relate to both Edward de Vere as the author and also the person to whom the sonnets are one of the people at least to whom the sonnets are thought to have been dedicated and about whom they may have been written. And so what actually turned up when I was doing this analysis was that the hidden messages that I found were actually confirming some suspicions that were already out there. Mm-hmm. So that was quite interesting, particularly the only begetter. Who is the only begetter, and what does that mean? And the other main question concerning the overt message of the dedication is it refers to the probably the author of the poems as our ever living poet, which is a phrase. Our ever living is a phrase which is normally used to describe someone who's dead. Mm-hmm. And at the time the sonnets were written, Shakespeare, the man from Stratford, who's traditionally thought to be the author, and was of course alive. Mm-hmm. But Edward de Vere, who I believe is demonstrated to be the author by the dedication, was dead already.
You maintain that Edward de Vere himself, he created the puzzle and the clues within this dedication?
Indeed, yeah.
Because he was a puzzle guy, and he.
Because not only him, but writers of the period had, you know, at that time, the time when he was alive and the time when the Shakespeare plays were put together, writing as a hobby was a new thing. Mm-hmm. So, and largely was the preserve of the aristocratic classes. It was just beginning to become something which the middle classes and the working classes were beginning to take on. Mm-hmm. and were beginning to, you know, have the time or the money and the education to develop themselves. Because, you know, but up until this point, writing writing poetry and certainly writing plays were either solely the preserve of the aristocratic, mm-hmm. or were a very new thing to the other people who were doing them. So, and part of that was that the fun and excitement of writing poetry also involved wordplay and word games, and they were fascinated and obsessed by rearranging words and making, and how a word meant could mean lots of different things. It might have spellings of how the same word could mean different things. Mm-hmm. On every level, they were fascinated by words and how they worked. So to be a good writer, to be a poet, would also include being fascinated by codes and by wordplay and riddles and anagrams and all. There's plenty of documentation that's what they were fascinated by.
Well, and that's all great, and that's fun, and it seems like a great inside joke, but why wouldn't De Vere just come out and say, here are the sonnets by me, Edward De Vere?
Well, I think that in the case of the sonnets, I think the first thing to remember is that they were published 5 years after his death. Mm. So he didn't publish them.
Right.
Okay. Somebody else published them. Right. Now, when they were published, the name Shakespeare was put at the top. So whoever published them was saying, these are Shakespeare's poems.
Right.
Okay. Now, Shakespeare as a name was around at the time. People knew about it. He was called a playwright. He was known as a playwright, known as a poet. Mm-hmm. He published Venus and Adonis and Lucrece, the great epic poems that had been published, you know, 10 years before, 15 years before. So Shakespeare was around. Mm-hmm. But at the time that the sonnets were published, given that they're by De Vere, it means that whoever published them was saying, these are by Shakespeare. So whether or not De Vere himself was saying, these are Shakespeare, I am Shakespeare,
right,
is a moot point.
Right.
The point being, De Vere in the dedication, my argument is unequivocally saying, I wrote these. Mm-hmm. Whoever published them is saying, these are Shakespeare.
Hi, this is Mark Nutter, composer and performer of the new CD, Twisted Songs for Twisted Sophisticates. And you're listening to the Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast.
Where can you see the RSC? This week we're at the Virginia Arts Festival in Norfolk, Virginia. We love going back there every year. Now, we have no performances in May for some inexplicable reason, although we will continue to be working on the script for The Complete World of Sports Abridged and rehearsing and developing it so that it's ready for its Reduced Shakespeare Company premiere this September at the Merrimack Repertory Theater in Lowell, Massachusetts. In June, we'll be at the San Diego Repertory Theater, and we'll also be back at the Kennedy Center in June and July. Go to ReduceShakespeare.com for specific venue and ticket information. Back to my conversation with Jonathan Bond now, the author of the De Vere Code. I asked him whether the lack of documentation from those days, anything that could definitively state that Shakespeare or De Vere or whoever actually wrote the sonnets and plays, is as maddening to him as it is to me and many others.
Who knows what lies in the attic of an ancient stately home of England, you know, in a box that's been sitting there for 200, 300, 400 years that has never been opened, right, or whatever. You know, there may be a document which takes us closer to the heart of what exactly happened. Mm-hmm. But at the time the sonnets were published, as I say, I in the book, I think it was probably a small scale thing, mm-hmm. that was done for a very particular reason, and the documentation just wouldn't necessarily have survived. Unfortunately, the Great Fire of London wiped out huge amounts of records. Particularly from the Stationers' Company, who held records of publications, some of whose records have survived, but around, you know, the Great Fire destroyed so much,
yeah,
of what was written,
yeah,
that you never know. You never know what was lost, and so the paper trail disappears. You know, around about that time.
So. Well, and one of the fascinating things about your your book is that although you are just an actor, a mere player, and you've been to college, this is your discovery. You're not just transcribing other people's discoveries here. You're the one who actually sat down with the text and figured out the coding. I mean, it was. I think you compare yourself to Galileo, brazenly as revealing something that exists, but you are the revealer.
I'd like to think of that more as a helpful analogy in terms of the context, rather than necessarily.
Well, you tell yourself whatever you need to tell yourself to get help.
Exactly.
You
sleep. Okay. But okay. I just wanted to make it vivid. that was the idea. But no. But it's a shame that it's treated with such skepticism and derision, really, by a lot of the English academic establishment. Not necessarily because one ought to agree with one candidate or other candidates or particular things, but because it's just such a fascinating and intriguing way of looking at the major figures of the period and the theatrical world and how it connects to the political world and all of that. So I've just found it a wonderful way of reading about the period and about the writers and the political figures and the controversies and all of that. So when I was reading around all the stuff, I simply got to a point where I thought, there's a few bits and pieces of arguments here that nobody's ever sort of put together in one place. One night I was looking at one guy's arguments, and it was as simple as I looked at it and I suddenly thought, hang on a minute, there's something he's missed here, isn't there? I mean, there's something more to this than he's said. Mm-hmm. And that was it was a kind of a sort of eureka moment. You kind of go, oh my god, the hairs stand up in the back of your neck, and you kind of go, well, is that just me? Am I just, you know, crazy? Is that real? And so then I began to look further and discovered more things that he had, that basically the guy whose argument I was looking at hadn't taken the argument as far as it could have been taken.
Right.
And that there were new things to be said.
Well, another thing that I love about the book is that there's a ton of research and a ton of thinking, and you lay out your thinking and your theory very clearly, and you don't take it farther than the evidence seems to support. I mean, for instance, you don't really talk about whether this proves that De Vere also then wrote the plays.
What's your feeling
about that?
Well, that was very important to me because I spent a year writing, or I spent six months writing, but a year really kind of crystallizing what I was thinking. And one of the things when you read, I don't know how many books on the authorship question you've read,
more than you'd think.
Oh, well, no, they're very Moorish. Yeah. They're very Moorish. And but I'm sure you will have discovered that it's a very esoteric field. And that you can quite easily find yourself way out in the lands of kind of very strange and thinking and shall we say, exotic arguments. Mm-hmm. You know, so I was very worried, partly because I'm an actor, you know, and I do sort of have a kind of career to kind of think about, you know. You don't want to come be classed as some kind of Shakespeare, you know, anti Stratford loony kind of, you know, guy or something. But also because I wanted the book to be readable by people who didn't know anything about this, if possible, to as many people like that as possible who wouldn't know about the masses of arguments one way and the other. So I wanted to make it dense enough that people would enjoy finding out about the period and get that sense of what the period was about, but also straightforward enough that they wouldn't feel I was trying to support too much on too little. And so that was a really, 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 you know, I spent a lot of time agonizing about whether I'd said enough or too much. And in terms of the wider question of the plays, I just think that question is, the answer to that question is complex.
What's next for you? Claiming that Jesus got married to Mary Magdalene and had children? Because that would be ridiculous.
Ah, that would be crazy.
Yeah.
There'd be no money in that.
No, no money in that at all.
That's it for this week's Reduced Shakespeare Company podcast. Send us your authorship theories via email to feedback@reducedshakespeare.com. You can interact with other fans at our website, reducedshakespeare.com, and our Reduced Shakespeare Company fan page at facebook.com. You can also become a subscriber to our YouTube channel or become a twit. Follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/reduced. You can find easy links to all those social networks at our website, reducedshakespeare.com. Thanks, as always, to webmaster Matt Rippey, uneducated Glover's son and traveling player Matthew Croak. Music by John Weber and Garage Band. Our random fan shout out this week goes to Darla Davidson. No reason, it's just random. Special thanks to Caroline Ratner for making this interview happen. Thanks also to Mark Nutter, and very special thanks to not a Nutter, Jonathan Bond, whose book The De Vere Code is a highly entertaining and convincing read if you've got an open mind. And thanks very much to you for listening. I'm Austin Titchener, 176 528ths of the Reduced Shakespeare Company.
Even in the 21st century, branding is important.
Yeah.
If they all came out under the Shakespeare brand. I know that screenwriters and a lot of American television is often written by several people, by a staff.
Exactly.
And it goes the main guy, Shakespeare, or whoever's name was actually on the credits, does the final pass.
Exactly. I mean, you look at something like Lost, you know, and you say, who made Lost?
Right.
Right. And you wouldn't hear it's any one of the 18 writers or whatever crazy number of writers they've had, you know, since episode one.
This podcast is a production of the Reduced Shakespeare Company, reducing expectations since 1981. Go to reducedshakespeare.com for performance dates, actor bios, email newsletters, and so much less. So much less. So much less. So much less. So much less.